This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Danger! Danger!
It's not a lineup, it's not an army, it's not a stable, and it's not a family. It's an alliance of businessmen.
I'll take you right.
Place to Be Nation, you're listening to the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast, featuring a different way to look at and debate the history of wrestling. And now, your co-host, the PTBN PWO two-man power trip, JT and Will.
The Dangerous Alliance would rather die than surrender to you.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 15 of the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast. I am your co-host, JT, and with me as always, my good friend, and that is good old Will from Texas. Will, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I don't drink eggnog, so I chose Crown and Seven instead to celebrate the holidays.
It is the holidays. Christmas is very coming up very quickly here in just a few days, and it is our Christmas episode. You'll be hearing some Christmas music throughout the evening. It'll be a fun festive atmosphere. We have some holiday-themed games, from what I'm told. And now, usually Dan McGinn is here spreading his jolly cheer, but he is off tonight at a holiday party. Couldn't join us, so stepping in his stead is Place to Be Nation's own Chad Campbell. Chad, how are you?
Doing good. My ornament is already made, so I was able to be here with you guys tonight.
Very good.
I think that's a ruse, man. I don't think Dan's at a party. I think he's molesting elves at the local mall. Trying to.
I picture Basil in the elf costume, though. That's what I picture. I'm sure running around his scampering around his apartment. But
maybe he's dressed up like the Grinch who had his little dog with him to go steal Christmas gifts.
That is much more likely. Much more likely. So Dan's not with us. Second time in three episodes, Will. It might be time to start looking for a more dedicated producer if he keeps bailing on us. But. Of course, Brad filled in last time, and now Chad is here tonight making his maiden voyage with the DAWP. But, of course, he is an avid listener, so he's going to do a great job filling in here. And I say we waste no more time. Of course, we all are very busy here at this time of season, so let's dive right in. And, Chaddy, why don't you tell us what challenge number one is?
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everybody want it, but it ain't that serious. That's that shit. So if you gonna do it just like.
Well, guys,
this.
A couple of episodes ago, you tried to guess the WWE World Title holders since the onset, and this time we're going to add a little twist to that. We're going to be dealing with the Intercontinental Title, and it's going to be a title lineage rebook.
All right.
So, yeah, we're going to start with Pat Patterson, and you two gentlemen will give an alternate person that could have won the title, and then we're just kind of going to go through history from there.
All right. Chad's a go-getter. Dan usually just kind of throws a name out there and goes back to sleep, but Chad's all over it. So, and Chad, you can participate in this as well. Feel free. So, like he said, Will, we're going to start with Pat Patterson, September 1st, 79, kind of talk about the roster, who was around. And, you know, sometimes we're going to say they're better. Sometimes it may just be an alternate. They may be the perfect guy at the perfect time, but we have to play the game. That means we have to pick another champion at that time. And we're not going to keep our own lineage going. We're just going to pretend everything resets after we pick. So say we rebook Patterson, but then we get to April 21st, 80 with Patera. Whoever replaces Patera will have beaten Patterson, not the guy we picked. So we're just kind of rebooking each stop, not building a lineage. So, that said, Will, do you have anyone off the top of your head that could have won the epic tournament in Rio de Janeiro, September 1st, 79?
Well, and maybe y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. Was Ivan Koloff in WWF at the time?
Let me see here. Koloff. He was there early in the year. Just kind of scanning. Of course, this segment provided a lot of help from our buddy Graham Cawthon in the history of WWE. So it looks like he's around sporadically. He's on a house show on August 25th, but then he's gone till December.
And that's a Georgia card. I think he's in Georgia.
Okay.
By then.
Okay, so he's gone.
Well, he may have been around for a couple of weeks.
How about this? How about Bruno Sammartino's protege, Larry Zbysko?
Yeah, that's definitely an option.
I like that one. That's a good one. When does the when does he turn on him? Is it later at the end of the year? I know their big match is in 80, but when does he when's he actually turn? Do you know?
I have no idea. I'm not a member of the Titans.
I think it's early 1980.
Okay, so he's got a little run. So I like that. Kind of gets the little face mid card champion run. It's Bruno helped him get there, get the title to buddies champions. So I like it. I like that choice. By the way, I noticed a funny little fact here on Graham's page. Vince McMahon conducted an interview with Debbie Harry, lead singer of Blondie, who remained at ringside to watch the remainder of the show at an MSG house show on August 27th. So there you go. Too early for Tito. He was still kind of a tag guy, right, at this point?
I don't even think he was there, was he?
Yeah, he's on some of these house shows on the undercard.
Yeah, but I don't think he's really made his name yet.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, how coked up do you think Deborah Harry was?
Yes. I'm sure she blended right in with that locker room. That would be my guess. She was a good fit in the 80s WWF wrestling culture, I would guess. I would venture. I think Zbysko is our best bet. I'm kind of scanning the roster at this time, and no one else really leaps out at me as a, upper mid-card guy that would have made a good fit that was better than Patterson at the time. So let's go with Larry Z.
All right.
So we jump ahead, April 21st, 1980. Ken Patera knocked off Patterson in Madison Square Garden. So a little bit further along now. Who do we like here? April of 80. Anyone jump out at you on this one?
No.
Okay. Let's see. We got Backlund's our world champion, so obviously he's out of the picture.
I mean, this is a really, really rough time. I mean, we're talking Baron Mikhail Scicluna, Dominique DiNucci, Ivan Putski, who was really over. Honestly, if you want to get someone who's over, Putski was freaking over. So, I mean, you're looking at, how about this? Another guy who is around, a big guy. He's not a work rate guy, but he's a big heel who could take the belt away from somebody, and that's Hulk Hogan.
Ah, see, now that's an interesting one. Hulk Hogan is our IC champion in April of 80. I like that one. Gives him a lot of heat for his upcoming feud and match with Andre the Giant later in the year. Looking at the dearth, I think if we want to stick around with a heel in Patterson, I think, makes more sense. Putski doesn't seem like a guy that necessarily needs a title. It would have been a big boon to Hogan, I think, in 80 to take that.
I mean, would it be Johnny Rods? I mean, come on.
Right. Ginger the Wrestling Bear. I like that Hogan pick. I think that's a really shrewd pick. What do you think, Chad?
I think Hogan's a great pick there. He was challenging Backlund a little bit, the Philly Spectrum matches from around there, but he'd have been a good IC title guy real early in his career here.
All right, I like it. Let's book it down. Hulk Hogan is your Intercontinental Champion, April of 1980. Then they can really have fun retconning that out when he comes back and they act like he was never around before. But so then we go to the end of the year. Pedro Morales at MSG knocks off Patera December 8th, so almost into 1981. If we want to stick around with a like-level face, Rick Martel's around, but again, he's one and half of the tag team champions with Tony Garea, so... maybe not.
But Martel was really good. You're right. It might not be a good time, but he's really good.
Yeah, I think he's someone in our back pocket that we save. So if we're looking at Morales gets it, and he's kind of a bit of a legendary name, or just at least a bigger name. So it's not like a mid-card guy. What about a Sergeant Slaughter?
Sergeant Slaughter would be a good pick, but was he a heel back in 1980?
He was still a heel, so we'd be flipping it a little bit. We'd be flipping the script, but... Or
maybe you accelerate the Hogan face turn, because he's so popular as Intercontinental Champion, right?
Yeah.
Or are we taking it from Patera?
I'm all up for building our own lineage. You didn't think we could handle it, but you're called now. See, you're
let's build the lineage.
All right, you're getting into it. I knew you'd get into it. All right, Chad, we're going to need you to track it. Tracking the document here.
so if we have Hogan, How about another big guy who's about to enter into a feud with Andre, Killer Khan?
So Killer Khan beats Hogan?
Yeah. To set him up for the Andre feud.
Yeah, that's a good one. Slaughter beating it. Well, so we're saying Hogan's a heel, but we're saying we'd kickstart his face turn, right?
Yeah, before the AWA does.
Right. So we turn him face and either Khan or Slaughter or someone beats him. Let's see. I'm going to the list here. Is anyone else?
Who else would you put? I mean,
I think it's one of those two.
If Hogan was still a heel, you have like Tony Atlas, but
I really
or you could even bring back Patterson and put the Patterson for the
face. Tony Atlas is pretty over. I mean, he's a big name. You know what I mean? I don't know how big he was in New York, but I know in Georgia, man, we loved him.
All right, so how about this? Why don't we do this? Hogan stays heel, and if you look at our next couple, they kind of bounce it back and forth a little bit with Pedro and Morocco. What if we have that spot filled by Patterson and Slaughter? So what if Pat wins it in December 80? He's set up for, I don't remember, when was the Alley feud? Was that the Alley fights and all that? That was a little bit later, right? It was like 81-ish?
Yep. That's spring 81.
Perfect, right? So that time frame works perfectly because our next title change is June 20th, 81. So what if Sarge beats Hogan, or I'm sorry, Patterson beats Hogan December 8th, 80, kind of fills that Pedro slot, you know, upper card legend. And then Slaughter knocks him off in the summer. And then we can either go back to Pat or move along. But that fits right into their feud anyway. That was hot.
Okay, sounds good to me.
You like that one? All right, so then the question would be on November 23rd, 81, Pedro won it back from Morocco and then has it for a long time here. So we got to pick someone that we want to hold it for about 14 months. So do we go back to Pat for a long run early 81?
No.
Definitely not, right? So is Martel still tag team champion at this point?
He might be in the AWA by this time.
Let's see. So we're looking at, what did we say?
Yeah, this is nearing.
November 23rd, 81.
They hang around.
He's still champ. Yeah. He's still around. I don't know. I mean, can we just like get rid of the them as tag team champions? Let Martel go out on his own.
I think they lost it in November. I don't think they had it anymore in November. They were still around, but they weren't champions anymore. Fuji and Saito have it, so we're clear there. As of November 18th, Fuji and Saito have it already. So I said we go Martel. Well, when did Martel leave though, Chad? Because if he's gone, we can't have him.
Yeah, he's in the AWA by. I think it's late 82, right?
Yeah, but maybe if you give the guy a singles push, then he's able to stick around.
Oh, it goes against the rules. Not realistic.
Whatever.
I like.
Well, none of this is realistic. I mean,
I know. Well, it kind of is. We're picking guys that are at least around at the time period. But I mean, all right, let's put Martel in the back burner. I think he's our choice. But is there anyone that was around actually through early 83 that fits that?
It's just, man, like the people here that aren't like contending for the world title, it's so rough, man.
Very bleak. Very bleak.
I mean,
it's like Buddy Rose comes in early 83.
Morocco.
No, there's no way. Morocco. In my fantasy land, Morocco is never a champion.
What about Valentine? When does he leave? When does he go to NWA, Chad? Do you know?
That's 83. He's in for a while here because he has the series with Backlund in 81.
Right. So we could go Martel and fudge it, or we could say Valentine knocks off. It'd be knocking off Slaughter, right? So we'd have to either turn Sarge or do a heel thing.
I don't think it matters. I think Valentine's your best bet because he's such an awesome wrestler. They can make it work.
All right. So let's go. Valentine wins it November 23rd, 81. And carries it all the way till January 22nd, 83. I think we can work Martel in a bit. So here we are, early 83. In real life, Morocco beat Pedro, but we need someone to knock off Valentine.
Well, who are you thinking?
Scanning here through early 83. Well, let's see how long the reign is. So this is another long reign. This is about a little over a year. So we need someone that's going to stick around and is worthy of carrying the belt. So we can't just park it on someone.
You know what? I'm going to say someone who was feuding for the IC title anyway, Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, Snuka's a good choice. He was super over at the time. When does he have his issues and leave? Well, he's around at least through into 85, right? He's at WrestleMania, so.
Yep.
Yeah, are we confident in Snuka holding that belt for a year without killing someone? We're okay with that? I guess so, right? He made it anyway.
What do you think, Chad?
Snuka seems like your most reliable person that at least is going to be over from around that time. And there's no reason why you couldn't put the feud with him in Morocco. Well, that was for the IC belt. So, I mean, it's just now he's the title holder instead of Morocco.
I like it.
Let's do it. So Superfly holds it for a little over a year. February 1st, 84, Tito Santana had knocked off Don Morocco. So who do we like here? Let's see. February 84. I think it's time. Well, yeah, we probably want to go back onto a heel off of Snuka. This reign is going to last till September. So, you know, about 8 months. So not a super long reign. So if we want to pick someone a little, you know, we don't have to pick an amazing guy, I guess, if we don't want to, because it's not that long of a reign. It's long enough. We can maybe pick a shiesty heel. We got now, we got some guys seeping in, like your buddy Dick Murdoch will with Adrian Adonis. He's around.
Yeah, but here's what I'm going to do. All right.
John Studd.
Check this out. So Tito wins the belt in February, right?
Yes.
And then Valentine beats him in September. Then Tito wins it back, right?
July of 85, yes.
How's this sound? We flip it. Valentine wins the belt in February. Tito wins it in September. Valentine wins it back in 1985.
When does Valentine come back? Is he back in February of 84?
It's he was on he was on TV in 84. I mean, I don't know if he's back that early.
Because he's just still in NWA at Starrcade, so he was still hanging around there. Let's see when he came back. Yeah, he's back in January. Yeah.
Let's do it. Hot way to show up. The old champion comes back to get his belt back.
Yeah, I like it. My only choice, like I said, otherwise was like maybe Adonis or even a guy who debuted around that time. If you wanted to really like shoot him up the card, which they did in many ways, you could have put the belt on him like at his debut or one of his earliest matches, Paul Orndorff.
Yeah. And you know who I'm having win the belt from Valentine in 85?
Who?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, baby.
All right, so hang on. Let's reboot a minute here. So we're in early 84. So what if we have... All right, so we need someone to beat Snuka. So do you want Valentine or Orndorff to beat Snuka in early 84?
Valentine.
All right, so then September of 84, Valentine has to lose to somebody.
Tito.
All right. Then July of 85, you want Valentine to win it back?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so instead of trading, why don't we give Orndorff that run coming into the promotion?
No, because he's already main event, man. He's already doing
main event. In early 84?
Well, I mean, but no. Oh, so you want to, but he's going to hold it till what, September of 84?
Yeah, and then he loses to Tito, who loses it to Valentine.
Hmm.
I'm trying to mix it up a bit. We got three reigns for Valentine in the first 8-9 guys, you know what I mean?
Greg Valentine's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I'd give him like 12 reigns. He'd be like the number one intercontinental champion of all time if it was up to me.
I don't disagree with you, but you know.
Jerry Lawler of the IC belt.
He's going to be winning it through 92. Fucking.
Yeah, 15 more minutes.
And that was an F-bomb, by the way. So I'm not sure where we're at. Dan usually keeps track of that.
For who? You or me?
It was me. I should have edited it on the fly. No one heard it, but I'm going to be honest. You're exasperated Valentine winning the title at every other stop. No, I love Valentine. I think he's a good choice. Let's mix it up. Let's have Orndorff win. He comes in February. Big debut. He's got, you know, shocks everyone, wins the IC belt, knocks off Jimmy Snuka, who's held it for a year. So it's a big push for Orndorff. Him and Tito have a good feud in the summer, and Tito takes it off him in September. Then Greg Valentine beats Tito. July of 85. So Valentine rolls into February 86, and that's where you want Ricky Steamboat to win?
Yep.
Okay, so February 1986, Ricky Steamboat becomes your Intercontinental Champion. That takes us to WrestleMania 3. Do you still have Savage Steamboat?
Well, Savage, in my rebooking of the world title, Savage would already be world champion. So, and he would wrestle Andre and slam Andre. So,
okay. So we're not going to use Savage at all on any of this. That's what you're saying.
He's above
this by this point. No, I'm fine with it. If you want to go that route, we can say he's above it. How about a still heel Jake Roberts? Maybe you push their feud a little bit later in 86 and culminate it at WrestleMania 3 and heel Jake knocks off Steamboat.
Jake Roberts would have been good if we had the same heel face dynamic. Like, Jake would have been great to replace Savage in 86. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that would have been great to have, like, Steamboat take the belt off of Jake at WrestleMania 3.
Right. Well, can we book it back and try and get there?
No. There's no reason to. We've already booked it. Valentine was a very successful champ for us.
Okay. Love it. All right. So do you want Jake to beat Steamboat? Do you want to go a different direction? I mean, looking at the other heels, we know we're not going towards Honky. Adonis is kind of at the end of his rope. Piper's leaving.
Harley Race is old.
Yeah, Harley's old. Martel's back, but maybe we're going to get to him in a moment. Orton in Morocco. Eh. I don't know. I think Jake is kind of the best upper mid-card heel.
I think that sounds good, Jake.
And then if we want, see, the cool thing with Jake, so that takes us to June, very short reign. We can turn him via that title change if we want and have a heel get over on him, or we can put a face. So, because I mean, Jake has to turn at some point because he's so over, like the crowd started to back him. So, you know, at this point we can have either a face take it and he doesn't turn yet, or he can turn via this title change and mix it up a bit.
What do you think, Chad?
It's kind of tough because it seems like if we're in our hypothetical, if Savage is out of the picture, there's not a lot of ready-made guys. I mean, you know, the story's always that it was supposed to be Butch Reed in the spot, but I don't know about him.
Well, hold on.
Can we put Butch Reed in rehab? Because Butch Reed is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Can we put him in rehab and have him take it off Jake?
Well, don't forget, we got to be comfortable with whoever wins it. It's going to hold it for, 14 months here. So longest current streak in history. So if we're confident that we want that to be Reed,
yeah,
we talk about it. But I don't know
his wife would have to do a lot of convincing to keep him
that long.
You really think Savage is gone? But because Savage getting this long run here instead of 86 could be a lot of fun.
Well, now, well, what about Martel?
Yeah, that was the other guy I was going to mention. Do we want Martel to break out and beat Jake and have it for 14 months? I can get on board with that.
I love Rick Martel. So you're not going to, you know, tell me like, oh no, don't put it on Martel. Yeah, I think Martel's a good choice because he's not the stupid model gimmick yet, right?
No, he was still with the Can-Am Connection at this point. So
okay, so
Zenk was about to leave anyway. So we just have him, you know, maybe have him win it.
Yeah, this basically just replaces Strike Force and all that.
Right.
Okay, so Martel was teaming with Tito in June of 87, correct?
Zenk still.
Oh, okay. So he basically kicks Zenk to the curb, goes solo, has like a 3-week feud with Zenk just to squash him, send him packing, right?
Well, let's see when Zenk leaves. Zenk leaves July, yeah. So that,
yeah,
that kind of
right
lines
around
up
this time, because yeah, then he's doing the single stuff with the Islanders, and then Tito teams up with him.
Yeah, Zenk leaves about seven weeks after Martel would win the title. Zenk is gone. But Martel's a face, don't forget.
Okay. Yeah, I like Martel as a face. I think he's much better as a face than he was as the model.
I think Zenk just bitches and leaves about 2 months earlier in our world. So I don't think they feud. I think Zenk just leaves. Martel, maybe you get the same thing. Maybe it's supposed to be someone else. Martel steps up. You know, Zenk's hurt or whatever. And Martel comes in and upsets Jake. And maybe that ignites Jake's face turn later on. Maybe very similar to Savage, you know, through the way maybe someone costs him the belt. You know how Savage kind of turned organically with Honky, so maybe something like that happens with Jake, where he ends up turning through that turn because you got to turn the face at some point. So,
okay,
all right, so let's go Martel till SummerSlam '88.
I got a guy for all the way. You know, Rick Rude.
I think it's perfect.
I mean, that's because Rick Rude had just come in. Less than a year before.
Right. Yeah, late '87.
Okay. He's you know, eventually he's going to become a really good wrestler around this time.
Right, and he would win it in April, so it's not that much earlier than he got it. Anyway.
Yeah, I like it. Let's give it to Rude defeating the model. The Ravishing one defeating the Marvelous Model one.
Is there... Yeah, I'm just going to kind of scan the roster quickly. I mean, I don't really see anyone else. Like, you know, Bad News Brown. Yeah, there's really nobody. I mean, so like Brown, Hercules. I mean, DiBiase's above it at that point.
Twin Towers.
Both of them. They can trade it back and forth.
Which just sucks because if One Man Gang was still One Man Gang, I would have no problem slotting him in here. You know what I mean? Because right. I love One Man Gang. But
and it's still too early for like a Boss Man. I mean, he had just debuted.
Yeah. And so Rude's going to hold it until WrestleMania 5, right?
Right. And then do we do the Warrior and just have him hold it until SummerSlam?
No. In fact, one of the things I thought that really hurt the Warrior was that he was Intercontinental Champion. Like,
so
I don't think.
Just speed him right through.
Yeah. I don't. Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, to me, I just don't think that there was a need for the Intercontinental Champion to be fighting the World Champion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I never liked that idea, you know? So I have no problem like Warrior never being an Intercontinental guy, you know. That's just me. I mean, y'all could, you know, disagree. That's just how I feel about it.
No, in the sake and the spirit of mixing things up a bit, I can get on board with picking someone else. So we got Rick Rude, and I kind of have someone in mind that I want to win.
Yeah, I know who you're going to say. Well,
not right now.
Yeah, I do too.
Not right now. I'm talking about SummerSlam 89 because don't forget this reign is very short. But who did you think I was going to say? Brutus
Beefcake? I actually thought you were going to say Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
That's what I was going to say. I think Beefcake beats Rude, gets his big title moment. We only know he's only holding it for like 5 months anyway. And we just speed up his feud with Mr. Perfect a little bit. So Mr. Perfect beats him at SummerSlam 89 and starts his reign.
I don't like it.
Why not?
I think you give Bret Hart his win at WrestleMania 5.
You know, kind of starts.
No, not at all. You know what? Wait. So what year is this?
WrestleMania 5 is 89, early 89.
You know who I'm giving it to for a 5 month reign? Ronnie Garvin, baby.
Oh, God.
And you made fun of Brutus Beefcake. Now Tito never won the title in our scenario. What about Tito?
Yeah, Tito's a lovable loser. Yeah, didn't we give it to Tito like back in the day? Him and Valentine switching it off?
Yeah, Tito has one reign already under his belt.
All right, never mind.
I'm giving it to Ronnie Garvin. And
I'm not going
with
Ronnie Garvin.
WrestleMania 5 is crowning achievement, bro.
No.
Knocks out Rick Rude.
Come
with
on.
His punch. Sweet. Hands of stone.
Yeah, we're going to just split it in the middle and go with Hercules.
How in the fuck do you get Hercules?
Yes, I got that F bomb back. Thank you.
I've already conceded the contest.
Baited. Another one.
What about Jim Duggan?
No, Ronnie Garvin. Former world champion.
Where though? Not here. He's a
great wrestler.
Brutus Beefcake, we took away his feud with Honky.
Did he not have great matches with Greg Valentine in 1989?
Yes, he did. I'm agreeing with you. He had very good matches.
That is true that in 89 and the submission match in 90.
I mean, WrestleMania 5, he lost to Dino Bravo and Frenchie Martin in like four minutes.
Yeah, and what kind of stupid booking was that? I mean, that's what's wrong with this company.
I just feel like Beefcake was more organically built through his career to this moment.
Hey, their new catchphrase should be WWE, 40 years of bad booking.
Mm-hmm. The other one wants to take 47-year-old Ronnie Garvin and give him the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania.
I have no problem with that. We got an established vet, someone who can carry these young punks that can't wrestle to great matches.
No, that's why he doesn't need the bell. He can do that without it. He's on the undercard working it. All right, Chad, you pick. Be damned.
I'm Bret
Hart, Chad.
No, Bret's
I actually
not ready.
Think
We're gonna
I
get to
am. I kind of like the nostalgia run for Big Ron.
Oh, you're the worst. You're soft like McGinn. Won't stand up to Will.
Hey, that's Chad. That's not true, right? We argued mightily on where the big boys play last year.
We're
going
to talk about B-level podcasts. Listen, let's stick with them. All right, fine. Garvin gets it, and then the ratings drop viciously. And then at SummerSlam, they get the belt off him desperately and give it to Mr. Perfect. So.
Oh, yeah, because the Intercontinental title is
it's such a draw on the B circuit. You got Ronnie Garvin main eventing your big house cards, house show cards. So
I think that actually kind of works, though. I mean, Brutus is fine there, too, but...
Whatever, Ronnie Garvin, put it down. I'm done. All right, so can we agree Mr. Perfect should win it at SummerSlam 89?
No. Bret Hart, Canadian over Canadian.
No, we're not doing Bret Hart beating Ronnie Garvin. He's going to have a bigger win than that.
It's a SummerSlam win. It's a huge win.
No, that's nothing. We're not doing that. Mr. Perfect
really,
gets his reign.
Really? Really? SummerSlam not winning
Mr. Perfect
in a great
gets
match.
His reign because Bret
Mr.
Hart
Perfect
is going to win
sucks.
At WrestleMania 6. Bret Hart
if this
beats
was
Mr.
1987,
Perfect.
Kurt Hennig and AWA, I would say give him the belt. Give it to Bret Hart, Canadian versus Canadian. They're going to have a great match because Ronnie Garvin and...
I'm not backing down. You already got your Garvin. We're not doing a face-to-face Ronnie Garvin-Bret Hart match. Mr. Perfect beats Garvin, puts him on the shelf where he belongs.
We're doing Piper versus Hart 3 years earlier where the rugged veteran on his last legs uses the young upstart.
I refuse. You got your Garvin win. Mr. Perfect defeats Ronnie Garvin at SummerSlam. Bret Hart beats Mr. Perfect at WrestleMania 6. That's what's going down. Opens that 1990 sucks. As his champion. Well, who would you have? All right, who would you have Bret lose to at WrestleMania then?
Okay, so WrestleMania, April 1st, 1990, right? Mm-hmm. It's obviously a joke, so we're bringing in Doink the Clown. Mm. Okay, it's April Fool's, so we're bringing in Doink the Clown early. Actually, who's there in 1990? I don't even know.
Well, the thing about this is it's only, you know, because Warrior vacates it.
Well, so I was going to say that. Should we just drop that reign?
Yeah.
So this guy would hold
it
till SummerSlam.
Like the April 23rd.
Oh, yeah. See, Bret Hart holding it for a year? That'd be pretty great.
No, you can't.
Come on.
You're still going to have the change in April. You still have to have one in April, whether it's Mania or Superstars. There's one change. So Bret wins it there and holds it till SummerSlam.
Which is still a pretty quick reign.
No, they're all going to be quick from here on out. There's no really long ones anymore.
Yeah, we only got 2 minutes, too, so don't look like we're making it much
faster. Yeah, so since we only have 2 minutes, let's put Bret Hart winning it at SummerSlam, holding it till Mania. Then we'll give it to your boy Perfect at Mania, okay? And then 22 days later, Perfect's going
to
drop it.
No, we're not doing that, Reign. We're doing WrestleMania to SummerSlam. So Boss Man beats Perfect at SummerSlam, then. How about that? You want to do that?
Why are you changing the reign?
Because that's a vacated reign. There was no title change there, so we're not vacating the belt. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So we're gonna go from SummerSlam to Superstars.
Yeah, like Warrior was already the champion, so it's not like he won the IC.
Yeah, I got you. So yeah, we'll go SummerSlam to Superstars. So Bret drops it to Boss Man. That sounds good.
No, Bret drops it to Perfect. In April of 90. And then Perfect loses
to
Boss Man at SummerSlam.
Perfect won it in April of 90.
Right, so you're the one who screwed it all up. That's why I said Perfect should win at SummerSlam 89.
Bret Hart wins it at SummerSlam. Mm. And so Perfect just isn't going to get his title reign. Sorry, Perfect. He's not a very good
wrestler.
Let's
leave it there. We'll end at 89, and next time we pick this up.
No.
We're out of time. We're out of time.
No, did you call it, Brad?
It's Chad, first of all. You don't know. You're
Chad,
a mess.
Brad, whatever the fuck.
Too much
we're leaving
out.
This catastrophe with Ron Garvin.
Too much fireball in your
head. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Ron Garvin, my main man.
Ron Garvin's your
proposal. Doing that
are we out of time
doing
yet?
That Garvin
I'm trying to kill time, so
JR's
we just end this
stupid
farce.
Ass.
This is where I need WDF homeboy Dan McGinn on my side.
It's just it, man. This isn't my wheelhouse. I don't even know who the hell was on these shows. I was in high school, man.
Oh, yeah, we know.
I ignored all this crap.
We know what you were doing.
Yeah, I was up to no good, that's for sure.
Are we done yet, Chad?
Yeah, we are done.
Running from the cops while trying to put out the joints, you know, in the ditch over there by the school.
Alright, so we're done with... Alright, so we leave. Bret Hart ends 1989 as Intercontinental Champion. So when we pick this game up and someday... We'll start off at 1990 with Bret Hart. So I need a drink myself. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back. We got a couple more games to go. We got some mail. Christmas episode. Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast. Back after this. I can't get old Santa Claus down to the chair.
it or play R.O.D.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We feature the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., The Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops, and the TJ McClune Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard and the Mailman Podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net. All right, Place to Be Nation, we're back. Hope you enjoyed all of the hearing about the episodes on the Place to Be podcast feed. Be sure you sign up on iTunes and leave us some reviews and some star ratings. Help us out there. I hope you enjoyed the little contentious, it's like the holidays with the edgy little family. Everyone's drinking, getting into it, arguing Ronnie Garvin versus Mr. Perfect.
Ronnie Garvin forever, baby. Ronnie Garvin forever.
The merits between the two. So good old family argument here over the holidays. But now we're settling in for our second challenge. I'm going to go ahead and bring Chatty back in. And what are we looking to do here, Chad?
For our second challenge, we're going to get even more in the holiday spirit, as we're calling this one Casting Call. So we're going to take your traditional Christmas movies that you're probably watching nostalgically around this time, and we are going to cast in some wrestlers into some of the most popular roles of each movie.
All right, so that should be fun. And can you wrestlers or anyone involved in the world of wrestling? And I was going to call this one Casting Couch, but I thought that may mix things up a little bit with the listeners. And
I like it.
All right, so let's go Casting Call. So let's start with a favorite, and it's one of the remaining entries in the PTBN Holiday Tournament, the greatest Holiday Tournament Spectacular, which opened up with the Elite Eight last week. We should be into the Final Four now as well, and of course the finals will be up on Christmas, or the tournament will wrap on Christmas, I should say. So, check out, see where we're at there, and make sure you get your votes in. But as the time we're recording this, Home Alone's still alive. And one of my favorites, of course, Macaulay Culkin, came out in 1990. A pretty iconic Christmas movie. Will, you're familiar with this one, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Chad?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, so let's start at the top. We got Macaulay Culkin's role. We have Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern as the Wet Bandits. We got the parents. We got Old Man Marley. That's kind of the, you know, main group
Pigeon
there.
Lady.
Yeah, we got Pigeon. Whoa, so that's Home Alone 2. You want to go to Home Alone 2?
Who's Old Man Marley?
That's the guy with the beard that lived next door that they think is like a murderer. Maybe
yeah.
saves him at the end.
Okay, if y'all say so.
Gives him the pep talk at the church.
Yes. And then we have, of course, all the other family members that we can do if we want. But and then John Candy in his little cameo is the Polka King of the Midwest. So we can touch on that as well. All right. So any initial thoughts as to who should be Kevin, the main character here? 8-year-old energetic boy, youngest son of the McAllister family.
Well, as bad as WWE booking is currently, you know who's acting like Kevin McAllister is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. And I should specify, if we want to use, we can put age, like years on guys. Like we could say, like, whatever, 1987 Randy Savage. You know what I mean? So we can do that too. We can cast them from certain years. But I like Dean Ambrose. I didn't kind of run around pranking everyone.
I got an even better one. You don't have to go far from the tree.
Is it going
to
be Doink again?
Nope. It's Owen Hart with his big bully brother, with his bitchy sister, Martha.
So you want to have Martha was his wife.
It's an old senile Stu who forgets. Who's the bitchy sister? Diana.
Yes.
And then an old senile Stu forgetting his kids.
So we're just replacing the McAllisters with the Harts. That's not bad.
Bread as Buzz has some legs to it.
Look what you did, you little jerk! You cost me the World Wrestling Federation Championship!
I love it.
He is so bitter. It fits perfectly as Buzz.
Then you can have Shawn Michaels and Triple H as the bumbling thieves.
DX breaking in as a Wet Bandits. I feel like we can do better as a Wet Bandits than that. Who else is... I know this is going to be like a tag team out there.
How about this? Repo Man and Crush, because they stole people's money every time they wrestled.
So bitter against Demolition.
Fucking, they suck.
Repo Man does fit the prescription, but who's Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater or something? Like Bunkhouse Buck fits one of these guys for me. Daniel Stern, he kind of looks like him a little bit. I'd go with that kind of, you know, stumbling around. Him and, I say him and Dick Slater. What do you think?
Anytime you can put Dick Slater in a Home Alone takeoff, I'm all for it.
Well, Dick Slater or Dick Murdoch?
No, I'm saying Slater because they teamed.
Yeah, I mean, I know they teamed, but.
Yeah.
But Dick Murdoch has some of the best facial
Murdoch
expressions.
Murdoch can stooge.
Yeah. All right, go Murdoch then. As long as Bunkhouse Buck isn't there, he's a great stooge. A big, goofy, lanky. Like, he fits that Marv role perfectly.
Yeah, and Murdoch kind of is stubby, like Pesci.
Short and fat.
No, Dick Murdoch was tall and fat. Thank you very much.
So do we have, so we get the whole Hart family then pegged in. We get Stu and Helen as the parents. We got Brett as Buzz, and then all the other ones fall into place. I think we just got to fill John Candy's role. Who's the big cameo that comes in playing the polka music and driving the van for them? Who saves the Harts?
King Kong Bundy, duh.
Bundy's the polka star?
Kamala.
No, I'm not feeling Kamala there, Judd.
Fuck, Giant Gonzalez, bro.
Another F-bomb.
I told you, I already conceded. What part of conceded?
Well, it is the last episode. I mean, that was the goal. All right, good.
I gave up.
I win. Dan wasn't even here to celebrate. No, Giant Gonzalez is not driving the van. He can't even fit in the van. How's he going to drive the van?
Ray Candy's in the bag. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, but he's not Ray Candy's in the
bag. Huh?
Yeah, but
not John Candy. Ray Candy.
Ray Candy is the wrestler.
For those who don't know, Ray Candy was Zambui Express, right, Chad?
Yeah. Him and Big Bad Leroy Brown.
Huge, big black man. It'd be great.
I guess the two people I know with the last name Candy are both fat guys, so that kind of works.
Well, it fits. I mean, the name is
from eating all that candy, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the name. You kind of have to be a fat guy.
Sure.
Why, I'm fat.
Your last name should be Candy.
Will Candy.
Good old Will Candy.
No longer Will from Texas. Will who eats candy. Yes. Christ.
There's going to be a tugboat. I want like a jovial fat man in this role. John Candy is very jovial and is very
folksy. What about Dusty?
Dusty's the answer. Rhodes. Dusty's perfect. Folksy, jovial Dusty Rhodes.
There you
John
go.
Candy.
All right.
There's our Home Alone. I think ours has potential. I like I think Brett is Buzz is my favorite casting. I think we've peaked. That's it. I don't think we're going to top that one.
I like
flat
the idea.
Top at all.
I like the idea of Stu actually forgetting his kids because he's so old and senile.
I just picture Brett just flipping out over stupid shit, yelling at Kevin or Owen all day, just losing his mind over the dumbest stuff.
Helen reminds Stu that they left Owen at home. He's like, oh, well, whatever. Fuck it.
That was a great Stu impersonation, Chad.
You ate my pizza, you goddamn son of a bitch. That's it.
You hold on. Okay, JR, you're ruining it. Chad,
oh,
Chad.
Come on.
Chad, you should do the rest of the show in Stu impersonation.
I don't know if I got it in me. I think that was my one and done.
Oh, you suck.
we'll try.
That's cracking me up. All right. What's the next
movie? We didn't
even
talk about the Dusty tie-in with playing polka with the polka dots. You know what I'm saying? He's the polka king. Polka dot king.
Yeah, well, it works.
Well, we're going to put Dusty in our next movie as well.
I'm the polka dot king in the Midwest.
That would be Elf.
Nice. So where's Dusty? Is Dusty the elf?
No, Dusty Santa.
Okay, that works.
Which means that the character that Will Ferrell plays, the elf, would have to be Gold Dust.
Yeah, you think he's goofy enough? I guess he's goofy enough.
And he's effeminate enough as well.
Yes. Is he innocent enough, though? Does he have that innocence? I feel like Goldust has no innocence. Buddy the Elf is a very innocent soul.
Could you imagine, like, Dustin, like, in his Goldust outfit, but also has, like, cowboy boots on, and then, like, a little reindeer hat? Dude, remember when he was kind of, like, putting, like, those, like, gag balls in his mouth, and, like, him and Luna were all freaked out? Dude, he'd be a great elf.
I told you we're not doing casting couch. We're doing casting call.
Oh, okay, my bad.
No, I'm just trying to get someone who's a little more innocent. Like, Goldust is the absence of innocence. He's deranged. He's perverted. He's a sick son of a bitch. We need someone that's
looks at the world through a child's eyes. The only one I can think of is Norman the Lunatic, and we're not casting him. So.
No, we're definitely not casting him. What
Rick
about
Steiner is Buddy the Elf?
Or Eugene?
Eugene.
Yeah, or Mankind. What about, like, the not deranged Mankind, but later on, the goofy, half-retarded Mankind from, like, 98.
I'm sticking with Gold Dust and Dusty as Santa.
I kind of like the... Eugene's not bad.
What about Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
No, he's angry. He's not innocent.
He kind of has an innocence to him, though, with the booger sticking out of his nose and everything.
Yeah, but he hits people with 2x4s. Like, Buddy's not hitting anyone with a 2x4.
I think we're proving that this character has not been done well in wrestling.
Okay, and I'm thinking, you know, for the Papa Elf, the Bob Newhart role, I want to go with old man Pat Patterson, like Stooge Pat Patterson.
See, that one I like. I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Because you know Pat Patterson would like Gold Dust sitting on his lap.
Back to casting couch. All right, so fine. Who is now? I think the casting for Walter Hobbs, the James Caan, is Vince McMahon. I think that's perfect. He was very Vince-like, you know, kind of. He saw a little bit of warmth, but a very gruff exterior, very focused on business. Not doesn't care about anything else going on, but he's got his family. You know.
I was thinking someone completely different. I was thinking Fritz von Erich.
Fritz isn't he's too grizzled.
But man, he loves him some Christians.
We're going with Vince on this one. The Vince is James Caan. They even kind of almost got the same look.
In my version, it's Fritz von Erich. That's for the record.
So where's Ronnie Garvin fit into all this?
Well, for the elf, I was going to put Dean Malenko as like one of the little elves.
As the is Miles the
yeah.
I like that.
The Peter Dinklage one?
Yeah, I like it. Because he's so angry, Dean Malenko, but being short.
Yeah, I like that, the Peter Dinklage one. I don't know who else is in here. Oh, the little brother would be Cody Rhodes, duh.
Yeah, that's easy. And the mother, do we want to go Sapphire for Mary Steele?
Well, yeah.
Who's been married to Vince? Vince isn't marrying Sapphire. We need Vince to marry someone.
It's not Vince, it's Fritz.
It's not Fritz. Chad?
It's gonna be Missy Hyatt. Done.
Chad,
I gotta go with Vince for
Thank
Walter
you.
Hobbs.
Thank you.
Okay, but in my version, for the record, people, it's Fritz Von Erich with Missy Hyatt.
Well, everyone can buy yours on DVD when it comes out. You can go see mine in the theater. Where it belongs.
next to what's the movie Miz and Paige are in?
We're doing that one next. We're going to say who would have been better than Miz. Santa's Little Helper,
yeah.
Anyway, Chad, in our version, who's playing Vince's wife here? It's got to be so, like, what about Elizabeth? Like, it's someone who's, like, really nice but caught up with a bad guy, you know?
Just put Mr. Man with
just,
Elizabeth.
Just in a bad
Are you
time.
Fucking nuts?
Well, he was basically jizzing himself all over anyway in the '80s, so it's perfect.
Might as well put Sherry Martel on there. Shit.
Yeah, but Sherry was crazy and nasty. Mary Steenburgen in the movie is very sweet and nice. And Liz, who better than wrestling history?
You just put Elizabeth with Vince McMahon, dude.
Who better in wrestling history that knows what it's like to be sweet and nice but be stuck with a deranged madman than Miss Elizabeth?
Dark Journey, duh.
Chad, what do you think?
I don't think there's a great fit for this one either. I don't know.
Trish Stratus, at least her and Vince have
Trish actually come to words.
All right, we can go with Trish.
Yeah.
More Trish.
All right, let's move on from this abortion of a movie that you have.
My version's awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
So who's the main squeeze of Buddy?
We already know Vince and Trish have awesome chemistry.
Missy Hyatt.
No, you need someone who's a...
Jillian, what's her name? Whoever sings the national anthem.
Who's a singer? Mickey James? Mickey James is a singer, right?
Yeah, Mickey James.
Now who wants to get on the casting couch? Now who wants to get on the casting
couch? That is rude. How dare you talk about Mickey James like that?
It's all over the internet, bro.
It's over your walls. All right, let's go. I'm going Mickey James. Our version's different anyway, this one. You're bastardizing everything.
Fritz.
Fritz Von Erich, the cartoon book, children's book cartoonist. All right. Enough right, elf.
How much time do we have left, Chad?
Too much.
About 15 minutes.
All right, that's fine.
How about the Santa Claus? You want to do the Santa Claus? You know that
no.
one?
No. Christmas Story, dude. Come on, let's get the classics out of the way.
Look, Santa Claus is classic.
Dude, that movie sucked.
Can't be any worse than the nonsense you're spewing. All right, let's go with... All right, let's go Christmas Story.
I mean, dude, WWE already has its own network, and now you want to cast every movie with WWE people in it.
I
it's did horrible.
Not. That's not true. You're the one who picked the whole Hart family to take over the...
True, but I was thinking of Bret Hart Stampede Hart family.
Oh, okay, sure. All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's do Christmas Story.
All right, I say Shane McMahon. No. So we need Ralphie.
I knew it.
No, we need Ralphie here.
Man, this isn't as easy to like put a bunch of little kids. See, now the father in this, I could see is Vince McMahon, a dirty old man who wants his.
The father's like a hardworking, salt dirty of the earth kind man. Of guy in this one. No, he just.
Oh, really? Because he didn't want a freaking a leg lamp. Put
prestigious
in his,
award.
The dirty old man.
That's not Vince. Oli? I think Oli kind of fits it, you know?
Oh, no.
The father?
Yeah, the abusive father.
No, that would be Grizzly Smith. Yeah.
Grizzly Smith.
He's the abusive father.
There it is done. Grizzly Smith is the father with Jake the Snake as Ralphie and his little brother Sam Houston.
Oh, God.
No, that does not work. That makes this a whole different can of worms if we go down that
train wreck. That's a Christmas Story you don't want to read or watch.
Just got to figure out where Rock and Robin comes into play.
Yeah.
The mother, I think, in that scenario, knowing how Grizzly was. Ralphie's a tricky one. We need.
Well, it's kind of somebody that never can overcome, so.
Wait, what's the name Sting? Of this? Is this movie called A Christmas Story? Is it called The Christmas Movie? What's it called?
A Christmas Story.
Christmas Story, yeah.
Are you sure?
A Christmas Story, yes.
Okay, A Christmas Story. All right.
I'm thinking Daniel Bryan for Ralphie.
That's a good one. I like that. And CM Punk is his brother. Wrapped in the pink body.
No, team. CM Punk would be the bully who bullies him.
No, that's Heyman and Brock are the two bullies. They get the whole look down at everything. Heyman and Brock, done. Bullies.
I don't like it.
Have you ever seen them? They look just like one's like sitting there drawing his mouth and then a big lug is behind him.
Scott Farkas.
I'm going with Heyman and Brock in my version for the bullies.
Okay, we'll give you Heyman and Brock.
Okay, so we need Punk's... I mean, John Cena in real life is Punk's brother-in-law. I mean, Brian's brother-in-law soon, so Heyman could just make them the brothers, Cena and Brian.
I like it.
But Cena always overcomes, Chad. Does that go against the spirit here?
Yeah. Maybe. We'll go with it.
Okay. So I haven't decided the parents, though, yet.
Yeah, we did. Didn't we already decide that
no,
it was going to be all
Grizzly Smith and Rockin' Robin?
Grizzly Smith and Rockin' Robin.
Will is casting Grizzly Smith and Fritz Von Erich and Stu Hart. That's his three.
And he says, I have a profile.
His three
he's just working his way through the territories and picking all the.
All right. How about Grizzly Smith with Linda McMahon?
No.
Linda could work for mother.
Yeah, Linda's sweet. We can do her as mother.
Oh, she's not.
She's a sweet old lady.
She's garbage. She's a horrible political candidate.
That doesn't mean she's not a nice woman.
She's garbage and she peddles filth.
Yes, Grizzly Smith is much more in tune with today's morals.
Mercifully, no, five more minutes.
He was in tune with his morals of the era, you know, raping women and, you know, slapping women around and stuff. That's what he was all about.
All about Christmas. All right, let's try and get one more. We got 5 minutes here. What's one more we can do?
Hey, hold on. We didn't get that guy who gets his tongue stuck on the pole.
Eugene.
I thought that was Ralphie.
It was. Yeah, no. Yeah, it was Ralphie.
No, it was the other kid. The kid
oh, Flick.
Kidco.
Oh, Flick. Yeah, that's right.
Scott Schwartz, another guy who's been on the casting couch.
Well, wait a minute. Who's his brother? Randy, right?
Yeah, Randy.
All right.
Daniel!
I don't even know what that was in the reference to.
Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay. I got
I mean, so Flick's kind of like a show-off, so...
Dolph Ziggler.
Ziggler. I guess Dolph Ziggler is always left on the pole. Okay,
he's dumb enough to stick his tongue to the pole, try and get over.
Yeah.
All right. Next
anything
move.
He can to get recognition. All right, let's do a Christmas. We got to do a Christmas Carol, and we get all adults finally too. Other than Tiny
which
Shepard.
Ones? Which one's a Christmas Carol?
The Scrooge, the Cratchits.
Oh, okay.
And Tiny Parv.
So we're gonna do Zach McGowan as that little kid, crippled kid.
Zach Gowan.
Tiny Tim or whatever the hell his name
was. Yeah, Zach Gowan, not McGowan. I don't want Ryan Schmock correcting you later on in the on PWO.
Oh, okay.
So who's Scrooge then?
Oh, Scrooge.
Ted DiBiase?
Oh, Ted Turner.
Yeah.
Jim Hurd.
Ted Turner works. We can go with
Ted Turner. I actually like the Ted DiBiase one the better.
DiBiase is a perfect fit.
Yeah.
All right, so and Bob
then,
Cratchit.
Then is, it would be IRS.
Is Bob Cratchit? No, IRS is the guy who died, Jacob Marley.
That's yeah, his, but yeah. Like when you watch a Mike Rotundo match, it's like you died. So.
Pay your taxes.
I like it. Bob Cratchit is IRS.
All right, so who's Zach Gowan's parents here? Bob and Mrs. Cratchit. Bob Cratchit needs some gravitas here. He's got to carry the show.
Oh, man. So... I would say Randy Savage and Elizabeth are the parents.
And Zach Gowan's their son?
Crippled kid. Yeah. Oh, yeah!
Don't make me work on Christmas.
And now we need the three ghosts. Okay?
Okay.
We need the three ghosts. I think that'll be enough to wrap it up. So we're going to look at the ghost of Christmas past. It's going to be Jerry Lawler.
Why? Huh? Besides the fact that you want him in the movie.
Because he was in Randy Savage's past.
All right.
Okay. The ghost of Christmas present would be Ricky Steamboat. And the ghost of Christmas future would be that tree that his truck ran into.
It's awful. I'd say DDP is the
closest. Yeah, I was
going to
say DDP.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, DDP. Why not?
I don't want Steamboat. Is it? He's not exciting enough for this movie. We need someone with a good presence to be the ghost.
What?
What's he going to do? Sell while he's the ghost? I mean, that's what he's best at.
All right. We'll do Hulk Hogan. Yay.
Well, you could do Ric Flair.
I wasn't going to say Hogan. I just didn't want Steamboat. Yeah,
what about
Flair's
Flair?
Yeah, Flair's a good one. We haven't used him in anything yet.
Okay.
That's perfect. There you go.
Is that it, Chad?
Yeah, we're close enough.
Hey, what the hell is that? Close enough. All right.
You're very loosey-goosey with our Dan here. Drinks are flowing. So, another challenge of the books. The Christmas episode is an interesting episode. It's been a fun, but also, again, a lot of contentiousness going on here. So I think we, again, need to cool down. We need to head outside, take a breather. We're going to come back, open some more gifts, and get into
chat. I don't know about y'all, but it's like 80 degrees where I'm at, man.
It's we're looking at around 60 today, which is crazy here. Usually it's much colder, like your heart. So why don't we take a break? We'll come back with challenge number 3.
Watch pro wrestling. Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only place to be nation podcast network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Good Will Wrestling with Good Ol' Will from Texas.
There's tag teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brain Buster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWO-PTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Alright, Nation, welcome back. Episode 15, our holiday episode of the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast. Once again, merry and jovial and cheerful atmosphere here tonight. Jerry Campbell stepping in for Dan McGinn in the big seat in the back. Will and I here. We've rebooked some Intercontinental title history, and that was some fighting in there. We've tried to rebook some Christmas movies. There was more fighting there, and Will, I think we're nearing the end of the night. Santa's getting ready to dock his sleigh and open his sack up on our roof. So I think we need to... I don't
want to know about Santa opening his sack.
He's going to open it wide.
Sounds like Christmas couch.
He's going to open it wide and empty it out all over our chimney. And we're going to...
over your chin?
I think we need to come to a treatise here. I think we need to relax. We need to get on the same page like we always are. And we're going to join hands, sing some Christmas carols as Chad tells us what the final challenge of the night is.
I don't know about you, but I'm really relaxed right now.
Silent night.
Oh, Christ.
challenge is pretty simple. We're going to be giving some New Year's resolution for individuals in the wrestling business. Wrestlers, promotions, predictions, all of the above.
All right, so we're going to throw guys out there, say what their resolution should be. We could do some WrestleMania predictions within this, some year-end predictions where guys will be at the end of the year. We could do our all-time favorite. Will TNA exist a year from now? At some point, you're just going to go with yes, right? I mean, the bets always come in the other way, so, or towards yes and not no, and even though we say no every time.
Yeah, well, let's just get that one out of the way right now. Because that's a fact, right? TNA will never die. It will continue to be one of the worst promotions, if not the worst promotion of all time. It's a garbage promotion. To me, my motto has always been, I'd rather a wrestling company die than to allow bad wrestling to exist. And as long as TNA exists, bad wrestling will definitely exist. But I don't think it'll die. I think they will find a way to stay on TV forever. Hello?
I'll tell you, my motto's always been, when it's right, it's right. Why wait until the middle of the cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, you know the night's going to be there anyway.
What the hell is that?
Sky rockets in flight. I don't know, when you said motto, my motto's always been.
Oh, Christ. Really? Really? Your motto is afternoon delight?
I agree with you. TNA's never going away. I mean, if they survive...
That's our vocal band.
If they survive these last two glitches in their run, I don't know what's going to put them down. I mean, the fact that they keep finding these networks and Pop TV or whatever seems to be maybe in a little bit better reach than Destination America. I know my wife was watching Pop TV the other day because 902.0 was on it. That and the Creek seems to run endlessly on there. But yeah, I think
your wife? Your wife? Quotation marks?
She was watching 902.0.
Sure that wasn't you?
Oh, well, I joined in, but she had it on Pop TV when I walked in the room watching 902.0. Okay. Jeez. Don't you have a second family's Christmas card to work on while the big boys are playing? But no, yeah, they're not going away. I feel like every time we sit here, oh, yeah, by the end of the year, they'll probably be gone. But no, I think we'll stay here a year from now, and they may be on a different their third channel of the year, but they'll still be going strong. Or they'll still be going. I don't know if they'll still be strong, but... all right, I'm going to throw one out there for you, Will. Undertaker, your favorite. What's his resolution in 2016?
He breaks both ankles at WrestleMania, and then the next WrestleMania, he wrestles on crutches, like Zach Gowen.
McGowan.
Whatever.
Zach McGowan. What do you think, Chad, for the Undertaker?
It's so weird, because if you'd asked me last year, I'd have said 2015 would have been his last year, but he was... more active in 2015 than he'd been since 2011. But I think if he has the money match with Cena or one more big WrestleMania money match, I think that's a good kind of match to ride out on.
Well, let me ask you this, JR. Who should win, Cena or Taker?
Cena. Cena has to win that match. Unless he doesn't even, too. But I think there's three things that always line up that you have to bet the same way every year, because every year we say it's the opposite, and that's TNA dies, Undertaker retires, and John Cena turns heel, and none of those things ever happen. So those are three predictions I'm not going to go against here in 2016. So I'd say Undertaker does not retire. I think he, even though it makes perfect sense, or in his home state, a loss to Cena put him out on his back, he goes away for good, but I don't know, like you said, Chad, he's been so active this year. It looks like he's recovered the best as he has in a few years. He's had his best matches than he had over the last couple of years. So I don't know. I don't think he's gone. I do think they do him and Cena because they have to get that in at some point. How can you keep not doing it? And they missed their window. They should have done it a few years ago. But how do you not do it at some point? And Cena, now that Reigns has the belt, Cena kind of seems like a guy without a ready-made feud. I think it just lines up perfectly, unless they do the Cena-Reigns match at Mania. But I think we're getting Reigns and Brock Lesnar again. What do you think of that one, Will? Who do you think Reigns fights at Mania?
Oh, I hope it's Brock Lesnar, because they had a great match last year, and I'll be in attendance. So if you give me Cena Taker and Reigns Lesnar as your two main events for this Mania, I'm sold. I'm in. I'm all in. You know, I think Brock versus Reigns is the best match you could have. You know, you have Brock come in, win the Rumble, okay? That way, you know, I mean, you can have him and Reigns hyping it up for 2 months. And you know Heyman's going to be on the mic. And so I think it'll be a great build-up, you know. And then you finally give Reigns his Mania moment, winning the championship over the Beast. I think it works.
And then you have some heels you can line up for him. You could do a feud with Kevin Owens. You can bring, when Seth Rollins comes back, you have a feud with him. You get maybe Big E splits off from New Day there. And then I think maybe you build to Reigns and Cena at SummerSlam, and then you decide, do you want Reigns to double down and beat Cena and Brock at the same year? Or if the Reigns train is off the rails a bit, you go back to your safe horse and Cena.
I honestly don't think John Cena should be WWE champion ever again.
Well, he doesn't have to be. I mean, it could just be like Triple H, where one day he just didn't win it again, and that's it. Like 5 years goes by, and you realize he hasn't been champion.
Let's hope so.
So,
you know.
I could see Reigns Cena at SummerSlam, though. I would do Cena Taker at Mania and then go that way at SummerSlam. What do you think, Chadley?
Yeah, if they do that, I think that's the best path of success for making both of those shows seem special. That worked. I mean, they did Batista Cena at SummerSlam first. So your kind of face versus face super match, to me, works well with SummerSlam.
So resolution-wise, Will, for NXT, of course, just had their super show in London. Who do you think are the next four NXT superstars, male or female, that will be up on the main roster?
Man, that's hard. Well, I mean, let's just call them wrestlers, because one of them
superstars.
One of them is going to be Baron Corbin, right? Like, mm-hmm. Regardless if he's the most ready,
right?
I think Baron Corbin's going up. You know, I think they have designs for him. I don't know if he'll be successful, but I know that they're going to want him to go up as soon as possible. I think Finn Balor's eventually going to go up, and he's going to wallow in mediocrity like most of the other great NXT talent has done. I would guess, you know what, I'm going to say that they get desperate and they actually put Samoa Joe up for a brief feud. So I'm going to say Samoa Joe as well. Incidentally, the main event of this last NXT TakeOver show. And for the women, let's just go with Bayley, because, you know, Bayley's Bayley. She's the only one left out of the Divas Revolution not to be up there. So that's who I'll go with.
I think Bayley, I could see her showing up right after Mania. I don't think she shows up before then. So it just depends if four people come up before Mania. I think Finn is definitely going to be there by Mania. You know, Sami Zayn, does he count? Like, he's going back to NXT, but I think he makes it back to the main roster around Mania time.
I would like Sami Zayn, and then you do Zayn Owens at WrestleMania. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they have enough faith in Sami Zayn. I mean, I could easily see Sami Zayn, you know, being as successful as like Adam Rose, the way they book these NXT guys. Mm. You know, I would love for him to be awesome and do great. You know, I root for Sami Zayn.
Well, they started him well. Remember, he had the big match with Cena in Montreal. Like, they seemed like they had decent stuff planned for him early on there. Like, you know, Adam Rose never got that. A big match with Cena on Raw.
Yeah, fair enough. I just look at the way that they've treated Tyler Breeze. And Breeze is such a talent. And Chad can back me up on that. That it's just a tragedy that they say, oh, well, we're waiting to you know, put these guys on the main roster when they're ready. And then they get up there and then they wallow in mediocrity. So, I don't know.
I think Zayn would have a run closer to Owens than to Tyler Breeze. Just based on you look at their respective debuts and also their positioning on NXT. Like, Adam Rose was never, I mean, he was never a headliner in NXT. I mean, Sami Zayn, you know, championship
well,
level.
How do y'all view, like, Neville so far? Because I can see
yeah,
Zayn
Neville
being
was a
kind
huge
of parallel to him, and I don't
exactly
think Neville's
and
spectacular.
That's been a disaster.
I feel like Zayn's got a little more charisma / promo ability than Neville. He's more captivating.
I think he has more charisma, but I don't. Yeah. I don't know.
But that's a big differentiator up there.
But I don't know. I thought Tyler Breeze has more charisma than all of them, and the way they've treated him has just been disheartening.
Yeah, he really. Yeah, he got stuck in this 50-50.
Well, yeah, I mean, he got stuck in that perpetual feud with Dolph, and now he's nothing like Miz coming out and all.
I guess just the way they debuted Sammy was I mean, one of the biggest debuts of any of the NXT people they brought in. I mean, he answered John Cena's open challenge and came out in his hometown. And, you know, then he got hurt in the match, but still went back and forth toe-to-toe with Cena. Like, not many guys have done that have come up from NXT. So that's the only thing that gave me a little hope that they see a little bit more in him than some of these other guys. Although, I guess Neville did too, right? Did he debuted against Cena?
Yep. Okay. And then, I mean, think about, like, when the women debuted. That was a big moment, too.
Yeah, but women never get pushed. I mean, it's true. You can't really compare.
But I will say this. The quality of the women's matches, as I mentioned on our TLC reaction show, the women matches have been greatly improved since those girls come up. I'm not saying they're great, but they've been greatly improved.
They have improved, and they've been given more time. I mean, you could say the Revolution's not what it should have been, but they have gotten more focal points. So we've had other feuds that weren't multiple matches on pay-per-views between women, you know. So I think there's been more. I think it's changed it a bit. I mean, I don't think it's as big as everyone hoped.
Yeah, I mean, the women's match is not strictly filler,
right?
And for the past 15 years, it's been mostly strictly filler. You've had aberrations, but
well, if they ever get a clue and actually push Sasha Banks at the head of the list, then I think we're about to see a big change, because I think Sasha Banks is still the bomb, man. I think that is so much untapped potential right there.
I think it's coming, and I think she's actually benefiting right now from flying so far under the radar, because look at what, like, Charlotte and Paige
Because of their shit booking? Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. I mean, look how crappy the booking. Like, she's almost better off until they get their shit together with the women to, like, just be doing what she's doing right now. Winning matches and not really in a feud, but, you know, still put over she's pretty much put over as a top level diva. She's just not involved in the big feud. So I think it's fine that she's not in this mess with Charlotte and, you know, crying Nature Boy and Paige and everything. So I'm fine. I think she's in a better spot, honestly, than, you know, if she had been elevated right away into, like, a feud with Charlotte or something.
Fair enough. What's the next discussion topic?
I don't know. You throw one out.
I can throw one out.
Gotcha.
Who do you think will not be in Ring of Honor by this point next year because they've been plucked by WWE?
Jay Lethal.
Yeah, I think Lethal. I think he's next in line of the old indie vets to make the jump. Does AJ Styles count?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I think he's going.
AJ Styles is not going.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think AJ's going either.
He's too old. He's, like, really old for them.
Yeah, but I think he gets the Samoa Joe run. I think his back is so effed up. I think he tries to get through, you know, what he's going to get through with the, you know, ROH and New Japan, and then I think by mid-year he's like, screw it, I can go work once a month, have a couple of matches, and get some money, get paid in a little bit. Call it a career. I think he has a run. I think he goes. I think they convince him to go. I think Adam Cole finally goes too. At some point he's going to jump. I think they take a shot at him now.
I don't know. I don't think AJ Styles ends up there. I really don't. I don't see him ever going to WWE. Now, here's one. Okay. This goes out to both of y'all. Does Daniel Bryan come back to WWE next year, or does he not wrestle and just wait out his contract and go somewhere else?
It's a hybrid. I don't think he wrestles again, but I don't think he leaves. I think he's got too much tied into the promotion. His wife works there. I can't see him going back to the indies. I know he's like a diehard guy, but he's also not an idiot. So, I mean, is he really going to risk his neck and his livelihood wrestling in front of small crowds on the indies? I just don't see it. They're already offering him jobs in the Performance Center and, you know, as a trainer in NXT. I think he just eventually comes to the realization that that's his best bet. Maybe he has one more match, you know, a farewell kind of thing at Mania or something like that eventually. But now I think he stays with the company because I think he knows it's the best. You know, financial security-wise, like I said, his wife's there, and it's just not worth him ending his career or being paralyzed or something stupid wrestling in the indies for no reason. So I think eventually he realizes his time's up, and he just settles into the agent-trainer role, and he's there for a while doing that. I mean, his whole family and livelihood's there, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that the man still thinks he should wrestle, And I think that if they don't let him wrestle, that he will eventually find his way out and he will end up wrestling.
Well, I hope for his sake he's okay.
Yeah, what do you think, Chad?
Ooh, this is tough. This is one I
really... We only gave you 5 minutes to think about it.
I know, and I'm still, as y'all were portrayed, as Justin was yammering on and on, I was nodding my head, but then I also think he does definitely have a desire to perform and push himself to limits that may not be safe, as we've seen with the style he's wrestled at previously. So if he could get some clearance somewhere that he's still good to go, I think he probably would want to still continue wrestling at the end of the day.
Do you think it's like indies, or do you think he goes to ROH, New Japan? Like, what do you think?
I think definitely he's got a ready-made in at Ring of Honor for sure.
Right. Yeah, he's a legend there. Plus, I mean, it'd be an easier schedule for him. That's for sure. And don't discount what he told IGN. He's going to Mexico, baby. Hair versus mask match. Book.
He's going to take Atlantis's mask. I mean, Mexico's a style that he certainly could
work. He's obsessed with it right now.
So let me throw this out at you for your takes. Do you think, I feel like more is leaking out than you would normally hear with this kind of stuff. Daniel Bryan saying one thing, the company saying another. We usually don't hear this level of chatter. Is it all setting up as just kind of a swerve-ish kind of thing, and he ends up coming back to wrestle for a bit? Is it already in the works?
I don't think so.
You think it's all legit?
I think that the way Meltzer has presented it, I think it's legit.
I just feel like he's out there talking about, oh, these doctors won't clear me, my own will. Just, I don't know. It doesn't seem like something he would say, without...
I think it's something he absolutely would say, because he's always been very honest and forthright. He's not rude or aggressive like CM Punk is, but he's always had as much honesty in what he's believed. When you hear his interviews and his talks that he has, so I absolutely believe that that's what's going on.
Does he wrestle WrestleMania?
No, because I don't think WWE clears them to wrestle at WrestleMania.
Even if they're getting desperate, it's February, it's starting to worry a little bit about what's going to look like arena-wise.
Here's how he wrestles at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns goes down.
Yeah, I don't think they see him as a desperate chip.
No?
Even now, because, the backlash was against Reigns going into this WrestleMania, and look where Daniel Bryan was. Yeah, he was in a ladder match for the IC belt, but that was just like one of the crowd.
They didn't need him, in theory, at that Mania.
I think they certainly did. If they weren't desperate going into this Mania when your top guy was getting booed at every turn. This Mania 31 felt like a Mania that if they really wanted to pull the Brian Chip, they could have, and they ended up utilizing him to try to help Reigns by having Reigns beat him at Fastlane.
I agree with Chad.
I still don't think they think of him as like an absolute channel turner. Or whatever.
I don't know if they saw themselves in a desperate position though a year ago. Like they were hell bent on Reigns, but I don't think. The ratings hadn't really eroded yet. Like the numbers weren't down. Like nothing had started to fade. Things are different a year later, and if you don't have Rock, who you had last year in the house, if you have the Sting match, Brock was your champion, I feel like they had a little bit more in place. So what if they don't do well in the early sales of, I haven't seen the numbers yet, I know the tickets went on sale, are they close to selling out, are they close to filling, where are they at with that, or if ratings continue to sag a bit heading into Mania, if Reigns isn't popping the number, I think they're in a little bit more of a desperate position now than they were a year ago when it comes to that, the intangible kind of stuff, where they may say, we need to empty the bag of tricks, screw it, throw Daniel Bryan out there, even if it's on an undercard match, maybe he brings in however many X more viewers. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and they're not going to have someone like Randy Orton back either, right? Isn't Orton
No, he's hurt.
Opinion?
Rollins is out. Yeah, they're hurting. Rock is supposed to be filming this movie. Ronda Rousey is supposed to be filming. All these people they were kind of banking on, may not even be around. And if they can't get Austin out of retirement, if they can't get Michaels
out
of retirement.
He's not coming out of retirement.
Right. And if, so what? Michaels doesn't sound like he is either. So what does that leave them? And I'm all for them pushing the young guys, but you know they need more than that to fill that stadium.
Well, they'll just call up CM Punk.
I mean, that's the
guy. He's done with that
he's
company,
not going
man.
Back.
Never again.
I don't know about never again.
I mean, I think Hogan will be back by Mania. That's my prediction. That's already started. That they've already didn't that come up on some someone asked someone and they said, well, you never know, kind of answer. But I think they're going to need all the bullets they have, and Hogan's an easy one. No one even ever believed he should have been fired, as stupid as how he was with what he said. I think everyone thought that was
who believes he shouldn't have been fired?
There are a lot of people that said it was an overreaction because it was something filmed years before. It was a private conversation. Like, did he deserve to be, you know, completely terminated from his contract because of that?
Yep, he should have.
Look,
done.
I'm saying that I don't think that.
I don't give a shit what the other people think. I'm telling you.
I don't think they don't care what you think. I'm telling you what the company is looking at.
Then why are we talking about this?
Because I'm telling you what I think the company's thinking when they bring him back. They're going to say, I don't think there's a big backlash if they bring him back. I don't think people are going to be angry or write letters or refuse to watch television because Hogan's on.
I think there would be a huge backlash because of the media focus that's on them right now with the ESPN thing, with all of these corporate tie-ins.
He'll come back.
There's no way that
it's already
you
blown
can
over.
Hope back on there.
He's finally done what he should have done from the start, and that's shut the hell up and go away. Because for the first, like, 2 months after, he was constantly on Twitter, like, retweeting people, you know, defending him.
I would say if Hogan made those comments in 1998, and this was a big story in 1998, you'd be right. But now, there's no way. Not in this age of instant.
I think more than ever, we're an age of forgiveness. Like, people want us the redemption story. The nostalgia is high. Like, I think Hogan comes out on Raw in February and, you know, brother, it's like, you know, what I did in the past was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. And what happened to me was 100% right. I deserved it. And I needed that time away to realize what I did wrong. And now I'm back home and I'm thankful for one more chance and I'll be at WrestleMania.
Not going to happen. There's no way they get Hogan back.
What do you think, Chad?
I don't see Hogan back by WrestleMania 32.
Do you see him back at all?
I think he'll be back.
Years.
Be alive in a
couple
five,
years.
Years.
I think a couple years.
Is he back by next WrestleMania? I think he's at least back.
WrestleMania 33, I would give pretty decent odds, but who? I mean, it's so weird to think. I mean, I don't know, going into WrestleMania 30, I would have said, if you'd asked me 2 years in the future from then, I'd say, well, the company's on an upswing and Daniel Bryan is your next big star, you know, at the level maybe Cena was in 2005, 2006, because I think he was peaking up to that level when he got hurt. So.
Yeah. I definitely don't see Hogan back. Not this year, for sure.
Volatile.
No way. No way.
How about, here's two other names, the guys that we've been kind of bandied around that haven't been around in a long time that could maybe help out a little bit with some interest. One, Goldberg, that's the name you always hear. Is he a guy that finally makes his return and maybe has a match at Mania? And
who's the other one?
Kurt Angle.
Goldberg is interesting because he says he'd be willing to do it. They just got to pay him what he wants. And they said that they've never offered him close to what he wants. And, if they do it, I think that would be a Vince McMahon deal because I don't think Triple H respects him enough to like kind of reach out the way he reached out to like a Bruno, you know? So it depends. I mean, I could see Goldberg because Goldberg says he'd be open to it. But
he hasn't been around in, you know, over,
no, has,
well over,
yeah,
you know, 11 years. So,
right. But I don't
fresh.
Know. And Kurt Angle, I think they're kind of in the same boat that they were in 2005. They don't want to touch him because when he dies, they don't want that on their media rounds that it was a WWE wrestler.
Has he done enough, though, to make them realize maybe he could do a quick run here and there and be okay?
I don't know,
I mean,
man.
He wrestled another 10 years and lived. It was fine.
No,
I disagree in 05. I think they were right because I think he looked like he needed to just retire. But, you know, the schedule, and he still has his issues, obviously, but, I mean, he's kind of made it this far now with a – you know, staying in the ring.
Yeah, he's got the DWIs and everything else. I don't think they need Kurt Angle, to be honest with you. It wouldn't surprise me. Like, Kurt Angle would not surprise me. Hulk Hogan would shock the hell out of me because I don't think they're going to touch that.
The time for Angle would have been to answer the U.S. challenge. Like, I think that would have blown the roof off somewhere with Cena doing the open challenge and Angle comes
out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, hey, TNA just got a TV deal, and they're never going away, so I could easily see them keeping Kurt Angle.
He retired from TNA.
Did he?
Wasn't that the big announcement he made? When Rusev was at his peak as a heel, Angle coming out to fight him would have been big, too.
Yeah, hold on. Did Kurt Angle really say he's no longer with TNA?
I thought he said he retired. That was his announcement. He retired from TNA. Do you remember seeing that, Chad?
I don't know. You're making me remember TNA stuff. I don't pay attention to TNA.
It's Kurt Angle.
I don't think Angle would be much of a needle mover, though. I mean,
Kurt Angle announced his retirement from TNA following the company's upcoming UK tour in 2016.
Ah.
This is my retirement tour for Impact Wrestling, he said, the UK. So lines up just in time for a Mania run.
Yeah, no, it's possible. It's possible.
How would you put the odds for Goldberg, Angle, rank them? Goldberg, Angle, Hogan, Daniel Bryan, Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin. How are you ranking it? Rock.
I got to show up or because Austin will
to wrestle. Yeah, they're all going to be there to wrestle in the ring.
Hogan's not going to be there. Right. Hogan is 100% no.
Okay, so how would you rank the rest then? Austin, Michaels, Bryan, Angle, Goldberg.
Austin and Michaels, no way in hell they wrestle. There's no match. None. 0%. Goldberg, I would say 20%. Who's the other ones?
Angle.
Angle, you know, I'm going to go 50%. I didn't know that he left TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And who else?
Bryan and Rock.
Daniel Bryan, I think it'd have to be pretty extreme. I think that in their mind, he's done. And Rock is filming a movie at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the only one that would be even 50% or more is Goldberg. The rest, highly unlikely. Hogan, 100% unlikely.
Would you differ on any of those, Chad?
I think there's a sliver of a chance that Austin wrestles. I don't put that at 0%.
I put it at 3%.
I could go up to 15-20%. If he was presented with the right thing.
They reopened the conversation with that stupid video package during TLC where they promoted
they
the podcast.
Doing that. It's like if you're going to do that, like if him and Heyman
mm-hmm.
went into business for themselves on the podcast and now they're doing this stuff with the voiceover of one more match or whatever. It's like if you're going to keep doing that, I mean, maybe it's just they want people to keep speculating.
I thought they were doing the one more match for Michaels. Like, I thought that was kind of to hype up the Michaels deal.
I don't know. It was over the thing of both of them. So either way, people are going to think maybe there's something there.
Either okay. one.
See, I could see Michaels wrestling before I could see Austin wrestling.
Me too, but the problem is Michaels isn't moving the needle like Austin would. So it's like, all right, do you want to drag this guy out of
yeah,
retirement?
Yeah, but in their minds. Michaels
and like, who does Michaels face? Like, he doesn't.
Well, Bryan would be the awesome. You know,
well, yeah,
but
I'm saying if Bryan's out of the picture, I can't.
And Rollins is out. That's another guy. That
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Owens would be fun.
That was somebody I was thinking of, but I don't know if that would be good or not. Like with Austin, I mean, it's like, okay, if he faced Cena, I think that would be an awesome spectacle. If he faced Brock, I think they could make it work. If he faced somebody like Ambrose, I think they could make it work. Like, it feels like there's more money. I mean, it is Austin, who's obviously more money than Michaels anyway, but just feels like there was more ready-made stuff for him to do.
Well, get ready for Austin Triple H.
Yeah.
or Michaels Triple H.
Yeah. You have about 2 minutes left, okay. By the way.
So where is the network at the end of this time next year? Is it still going strong? Are they still do well? Are subscriptions going up? Or is it
I don't think they're going up. I think it holds steady. Because I think the wrestling fans who want the network are getting the network. And the ones who don't have it yet, I don't think are going to get it. I think we're probably going to be hovering around a million subscribers from here on out. I think that's their peak.
Unless business gets hotter.
the way they book, I don't see business ever getting hotter the way that they book this company. I have no faith in this company to book a hot business right now.
Well, they somehow got fans behind Roman Reigns. So, I mean, that's something, right? That's something that seemed impossible that they've done through hard work. So, you know, every now and then may they piece it together, but... I mean, this is the time that we'll see it. If subscriptions increases now,
but see, to me, it's all about moments. This company is not about long-term strategic thing. It's about moments.
Well, they're going to have to be long-term at some point because, as we're seeing, well, look at the struggle we're having for these legends.
As long as they refuse to build stars, okay? Because to them, right? I mean, you even tried to make this argument against me on a previous show. That it's about the company, it's not about the stars. Well, you know when this company was at its best in the 80s and the 90s? When they had superstars above and beyond what everybody else was. And they don't do that anymore, right? I mean, you admitted that. So there's no point in thinking there's going to be a boom when the way they book prevents anyone from ever reaching a level that's bigger than the company.
Unless they change and do. But as of right now, it doesn't seem to be headed that way. But who knows? We'll see. Be an interesting year ahead.
And as of that, time is up.
All right. Quickly, InfoSpace.com. Be sure to check out all of our usual weekly shows and in written installments. Of course, us right here, Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast, The Kevin Kelly Show, The Place to Be Podcast, Where the Big Boys Play, Between the Sheets, Exile on Bad Street, all there for you each and every week. Follow us at Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation, Twitter, Place2BNation. iTunes, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed and the PWO PTBN feed, as well as the Kevin Kelly Show feed. Hit us up for any questions you may have for this show or others on Twitter, Facebook, or at ProWrestlingOnly.com. The message board there, we're always open. Be sure to vote in our holiday tournament if you haven't already as we wrap things up there. Check out all our weekly installments too, our PTBN Network Adventure, our Seinfeld rewatch series, and all the like that we do each and every week there. So PlaceToBeNation.com. As the holidays wrap up, you're doing your last-minute shopping before you go to Amazon. Go to PlaceToBeNation.com first. Click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side. It takes you right to Amazon. You can do all your business as you need to do. That one click helps keep us going, give us a little bit of money back. So be sure to check that out.
Hey, that's what I'm doing, man. Christmas shopping with Amazon.
Right through PlaceToBeNation.com.
Clicking on PlaceToBe. I just did it, I think I said, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing now, from now on, man, just because I actually never believed that that's all it took, was just clicking on the button and then just acting like it was Amazon. But that's it. Just click on the button.
Super easy. If Will can do it, you can do it. That's our motto. My motto's always been that. So, all right, mail time, Will. What do you think? It's holidays. We got to get the hell out of here. What do you think? 5 minutes of mail?
I wanted to go 10 just because it's the holidays. Give a gift.
All right, how about we split it and go 7.5 minutes of mail? How about that?
Oh, 10 minutes. Oh, 10 minutes.
Tired. All right, 10 minutes.
I want to. This is the season of giving, people.
Chat has to fix his Christmas cards. All right, 10 minutes of mail, beginning right meow.
We're going to the party. We're going to the game. We're going to the disco. We're going to cruise out, man. We're stealing people's mail. Stealing people's mail.
You've got mail.
Our first piece of mail is from somebody that I'm personally thinking about every day, Crawlspace Chicken Wing. He's learned some health news and wishing him good luck with everything, but he's asking you guys to design new artwork for Kamala's belly.
Okay, and so shout out to him from us as well. He's a big fan of the show, he always comments and always leaves his mailbag questions, and we wish him nothing but the best in his struggles here. So happy holidays to him, and hope he comes through everything just fine. We look forward to many more inane mailbag questions from you, sir. And I'm painting Will's face on Kamala's belly.
I like it.
He can slap you in the head every time he smacks his belly.
Papar's face, Papar hates him.
Papar's face?
There you go.
How about I don't know why, but...
How about Dan McGinn in an ugly Christmas sweater? I like that, too. I put him in
an ornament on the face. Smile.
Since it's the Christmas season, on one of his nipples, we're going to have Rudolph's red nose. Okay, so he'll have Rudolph on one side. And on the other side, we're going to have the Will Ferrell elf. Okay, with his nipple as like the mouth, like a bottle stuck in it. Anyway, and then on his belly, I want the Tony the Tiger.
Well, What's that have to do with Christmas? And is Lee Marshall doing the voice when he talks?
No, I just wanted Tony the Tiger on there somewhere. They're both from Africa. They're both from the savannah there in Africa.
Did Tony the Tiger call in from the road, give the Nitro report?
Dude, I didn't even think that Lee Marshall was Tony the Tiger's voice. That's awesome.
He was. You didn't know that?
No, I did know that, but okay. Like I wasn't like when I was designing this, I didn't even think about it. I was just looking.
Lee Marshall was Tony the Tiger?
You didn't know that?
Like, not the original Tony the Tiger, but like later on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Between the Nitro reports, he was phoning in the voiceovers from the phone booth.
I think the original, have some milk with your weasel. I think the original guy was the guy who he was like the guy who did like you're a mean one.
Yes, yeah, Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yeah.
Ravenscroft. He was the I think he was the original Tony the Tiger.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I guess I know what we're ending the show with as well.
Oh, you have to. No, man, the Kinks. Father Christmas, bro.
I can just work that in throughout the show, but the Grinch will end it.
All right, because the Kinks' Father Christmas, man, that's an awesome... That might be my favorite holiday song, man.
Okay. Yeah. It'll already been heard by the time we get to
it. The pleasure of listening to a two-hour podcast Will did on the Kinks that no one else will ever hear, but that's a story for another day.
I know. Actually, it was 4 hours, because we did two parts, but yeah.
Only call part one, but I digress.
Well, this show feels like it's been going on for 2 hours. Right. So, Chad, what is the next...
Zero asks, who do you think is the most influential pro wrestler of all time?
Gotta be Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, I agree.
No, he's on the list for sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Let's go...
Buddy Rogers?
Oh, yeah. Maybe Buddy Rogers, man. The Nature Boy thing going on.
He's doing this a lot. Gorgeous George. Well,
like Gorgeous George. Yeah.
Gorgeous George. Grizzly Smith.
Yes. Inspired a lot.
Yeah, and Thurl Ravenscroft was the second Tony the Tiger, and he did it for almost 50 years, and then Lee Marshall did it for the next 8 years.
There you go.
Wow, okay. I didn't know he did it that long. They're great. Yeah, that was okay. So cool. I don't know, man. I think Buddy Rogers is a great one, you know?
I'd say him and Gorgeous George are...
Because Buddy Rogers originated the Fargo strut, which you see all the Memphis wrestlers do, too.
Right. I mean, Gorgeous George, of course, was... he was really the first to do all of the greening and the pantomiming and the bring up the more charismatic side of things. So, he's got to be up there.
I think the problem is when you say of all time, right. A lot of it just goes before guys that we ever saw, the guys we've just read about or seen pictures of or seen clips of, you know. So,
well, how about like Jimmy Snuka? Like he inspired the whole generation of the guys that came up in the 90s. They always talk about Snuka.
You know what? I mean, you could argue that a guy like Dynamite Kid was just as important.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
No, I agree with that 100%.
But I mean, it just depends on what era you want us to go from and how far back. Because, the great thing about wrestling, there's always someone who did it better than you did, you know?
Well, I think that the late 80s WWF, there's some guys in there. Because that's the whole generation that came up later. That's when they grew up, and it was such an identifiable set of wrestlers, at that time. So I think there's a bunch in there that were probably pretty influential on the whole crop of current guys or guys that were big in the early 2000s.
Yeah, but they didn't really shape the way that the wrestling industry has gone. I don't think so. So, I don't know. And we didn't even consider like negative versus positive influence. You know what I mean? So.
There's ECW in general, too. I mean, you could put Paul Heyman
on. To me, that's a very, very negative influence, yeah, sure. Right.
But I put Heyman on the list himself. I think he shaped, and I think Bischoff, too. I think Bischoff is super influential because he's the one that took wrestling from the tape cycle and not giving away big matches on TV to this, where we are now. I mean, everyone always blames Russo for the Attitude Era, but Bischoff really was the first one that put us there because he was putting on the big matches week after week. I mean, if you look at the first, like, 6 weeks of Nitro, there's Mega Man, Hogan and Luger falling. It was like the second Nitro.
I would also include Vince Russo as the guy who made wrestling not matter, you know, who did so much garbage that he made wrestling even more of a laughing stock than it was prior. But,
yeah, but he
anyway.
Thinks Kevin Owens is fat man, so he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and that next question.
Well, we'll end it on the question that's been rocketing through the wrestling message board waves the past couple of weeks, and can't wait to hear you guys' take. So who is older, Earl or Dave Hebner?
Earl.
Earl or Dave? Well, Dave... I mean, Dave retired quicker, so to me that means Earl had to hang around longer. Earl's like the shiesty younger brother who doesn't get the love of the father, so he does stupid things like sell merchandise out of the back of his car. Gets better with Vince McMahon, screws Bret Hart, and he's always doing get-rich-quick schemes, disappointing his dad. So I'm going to say Earl's the younger one, Dave's older.
I'm going to go the reverse, only because Earl is an old name.
Dave's the old son. He's the good son. He's the one that listened to his dad.
Here's my real answer. Who gives a shit? Next.
Chad said we're wrapping up with that one. All right, one more, Chad.
All right.
So, hey, we got two more minutes,
one
brother.
More.
What point did SummerSlam start to lose its luster as a major WWE event?
All right, this is a good one. And there's been good ones in recent vintage, but as far as... And I think they're working hard to rebuild its name. I think its original run ended with... I think Jesse in 99. Like, I think it was still a big deal when there weren't pay-per-views every month that were big pay-per-views. So, like, up through 97, it was still a big deal. 98, Highway to Hell was massive. And 99, I would have said 98, but them bringing in Jesse for 99 was a really big deal. They got a ton of mainstream coverage. It felt like a big deal. I think by 2000, every show started to kind of feel important to them. They had big ones since then, but I feel like after 99, it's when it came closer to the pack.
I'm actually going to go later. I'm going to say 2003. Because in 2000, wrestling was hotter than it's ever been. 2001, you were in the middle of the invasion. And then in 2002, you had Rock versus Brock, which felt like a huge deal at the time. Yeah, but then when... Hold on. Let me finish. I'll let you talk. But then once we got to that Elimination Chamber match in 2003, people weren't watching anymore. Ratings had dropped. Nobody gave a shit. It was over. It was done.
I think we got to look at it like... So in my eyes, I think like those shows are still great, but to me, when you look at 01, like a show like Invasion was almost just as big as SummerSlam that year, and it did. I think it probably did a bigger number. So I think SummerSlam came closer back to the pack starting in 01 when all the shows started to get that feel a little bit. Like I didn't feel like they were booking towards SummerSlam as much.
Well, I would argue that that kind of started earlier when they went to 12 pay-per-views a year.
Yeah, but they were still only like 2 hours up until 97. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, the point is, though, is that, like, you brought up the Highway to Hell. That was a great, great build to that show. Okay? But at the same time, like, SummerSlam 99, man, I watched all of that 99 footage about a year ago. So did Chad. All of that shit just blended together. Am I wrong, Chad?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, like, the 2010 SummerSlam was awful.
10?
Yeah, the one with the Nexus.
He's all thrown off by the Christmas cards.
I said 1999.
About 1999.
Oh, 1999. Well, that wasn't... I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, didn't all of those pay-per-views in 99 just blend together? Like,
yeah,
even had
99's kind of an off year, though, too.
I can give you... I'll give you 90. I mean, 90 was my original thought, but the Jesse thing... Like, them bringing back Jesse Ventura while he's mayor, or, you know, while he's governor... To me, made it seem like they weren't going to do that at Fully Loaded, you know, or whatever. So
no, I get that, but like to me, having Rock Brock, having like TLC at the 2001, I think that they still kept it special up until then. And I think 2003 putting the Elimination Chamber was fine, but I think that interest in the product and after that, it was done. Mm-hmm. It was done. All it was a special.
All right, why don't we go to wrap things up? Their holiday edition in the books, episode 15 in the books, and we also close out 2015. Well, so it's been a nice little run for us here through our inaugural year. We'll be back in the new year, 2016, with all new episodes, starting with 16, and we'll see if Dan's back from his vacationing or tree planting whatever the hell he's been doing over the last couple of weeks. So hopefully he'll be back. Chad, we want to thank you very much for stepping in. Will, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and happy holiday season. Stay happy and healthy. I hope you get all the gifts you asked Santa for. And we wish the same to all of Place to Be Nation.
Yeah,
so,
you too, brother. You too.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So on behalf of Mr. Chad Campbell and good old Will Candy from Texas, I'm JT. We are out. We will talk to you all in a couple weeks.
Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39-and-a-half-foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked, jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked hoss, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.